I'm Kurt Anderson in Studio 360 today with the art expert Tom Hoving, and we're talking about fakes. In his book, Blink, Malcolm Gladwell makes the argument for trusting our first impressions. And the book opens with a story about a team of experts not long ago trying to authenticate a supposedly ancient Greek sculpture. And you, Tom Hoving, are the star of that story because you said, this ain't the real thing. What led you at that moment when you saw this ancient sculpture to say, uh-uh?
Well, the thing is 6'9" tall, and I'd seen it for the first time since it was taken off. They'd lifted it off its back and put it up upright. And the curator brought me in there, and I stopped him. I said, have you paid for that? The guy said, what do you mean? Are you joking? You're the usual Tom Hoving joke. I said, no, if you haven't paid for it, don't. And if you have, get a lawyer. He said, what do you know about it? I said, can't be. Too fresh. It's too fresh. I've dug up stuff like that, pieces of things like that. It was supposed to be 520 BC. Couldn't be. And they really laughed at me, and they tried to crunch me. And then it turned out, by chance, a dealer found in a Freeport in Zurich or in Geneva, the exact statue that the Getty bought for $9 million, a third the size, with exactly the same stylistic characteristics, which meant that the forgers were trying to, why do something bad in an expensive piece of marble? Do something small first and get it right.
But you had been fooled yourself in the past by antiquities.
Rather, not antiquities, no, other things. But yeah, sure, if you don't get fooled, you're not doing your right job as a collector.
How's that?
Well, you've got to reach a little bit, you know. Plus, they don't give you much time. You have to make up your mind today. Cleveland Museum is going to buy it tomorrow. Need, speed, and greed is why you get stung.
Way before you were ever head of the Met, when you were a kid, you had a job with an antiques dealer who had some shady occupations on the side as well.
Yeah, I worked for an interior decorator, and we were buying stuff on 3rd Avenue, cheap 18th, 19th century French stuff, paintings, furniture. And the paintings restorer was on 57th Street here, and his name was Frank X. Kelly, and I loved him. I was a 17-year-old guy. I got a crush on him. He had a cigarette always out of the side of his mouth. He had a pork pie hat. He said, kid, he gave me drinks. He was a better of horses. He was a wild gambler. I just totally adored the guy, you know. He was everything I wanted to be. And I came, would go into his studio to see how our stuff was coming along. One day I went up there and there our stuff was all done. Hey, good, we're going to be on time. And then I saw some more bins and I started going through and there was a Monet and then a half-painted Monet and then a Renoir and a half-painted Renoir. And I heard this cough and it was Frank. He said, kid, make a deal. Not a word about this to anybody and I'll show you how it's all done. And for the next month and a half, he showed me how to fake impressionist, post-impressionist. He said, 10 minutes, 15 minutes is what a Monet takes me. And then, Kurt, years later, I would see these things in New York apartments, duplexes, triplexes, you know, I mean, the high life. And I would never say a word. They'd say, what do you think? And I'd say, it's remarkable.
And did you keep it secret at the time? You never told your...
When Frank died, I started divulging it. Still see him from time to time. I walk down Madison Avenue and, yeah, I'll see a Frank Kelly.
Really?
Yeah. He was pretty good.
You say in False Impressions, your book about art forgery, that among the tens of thousands of works of art you looked at while you were at the Metropolitan, that 40% were either fakes or so horribly misattributed that they might as well be fakes. Is that a real figure? You stand by that number?
I stand by that. It was less than 50%, but a lot more than 25%.
Does that mean...
Now, it's not, Kurt, it's not a direct outright forgery or a copy or even a pastiche. It is taking something and enhancing it. Like, for example, taking a, let's do a late 18th century, really mediocre French landscape painting and putting in just below the tree line, just the part of a Montgolfier balloon. Bang, double the price.
Just because it makes it a nicer, more marketable image?
More marketable. Worth more bucks. If you have Montgolfier, that's a historic event, not just a second, third-rate French landscape painting of 1786. Why does every painting in the Metropolitan Museum of Art from 13th century to Jackson Pollock or beyond look like it was painted the same day? You got it, kid.